Okay, we are up to Yehoshua, Perek Yudches, 18th Perek of Sefer Yehoshua, and we get into more prakim, two more prakim related to the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael, before we get up to the last five prakim of Sefer Yehoshua, which deals with the stories relating to what happens before Yehoshua dies. Right, so that's coming up, but we still have two more prakim related to the Chalukah. So today's Perek Yudches, is about the Chalukah of Binyamin. But we start off with a couple of extra psukim, where all of Am Yisrael get together and set up the Mishkan. Finally, it's after the 14 years, it's the end of the 14 years, and they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh. It's been in Gilgal for 14 years, and now it goes to Shiloh, and it will be in Shiloh for 369 years, all the way through the times of the Shoftim, all the way to the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, when it is destroyed in the times of Eli, it is taken away in the times of Eli. So this parak, we know that there are seven Shvatim that still did not get Nachla. We have the 2.5 Shvatim Aver HaYardin, plus the extra half Menashe got Nachla last time, so that makes three, and then we have Ephraim, and Ephraim Menashe was already taken care of, and Yehuda was taken care of. So there are seven Shvatim left, and Yeshua goes to Bnei Yisrael. Why are you being so lackadaisical about it? What's the problem? Go Yarshin, right? Go, it's already 14 years. It sounds like Chazal say that they weren't eager, they weren't ready to go and quickly get the, be nochal the lands. So they were relaxed and going to live in wherever they were living. So Yeshua says, no, send three men for each Shevet, go map out the areas, and then come back to me, and we'll get exactly where every Shevet is supposed to be. So that is what they do. They don't drive out the inhabitants, but they come back to Yehoshua in Shiloh, and they bring it, and Yehoshua then does a goro, and they get their portions, the seven Shvatim that are left. And the one that's described in the second half of this parak is Shevet Binyamin. And we know Shiloh was in Shevet Binyamin, and we know that from Rashi and Parshas Vayigash, with Bez Hashem, we will discuss in a couple of minutes. But that's the second half of the parak, all about Shevet Binyamin. So now let's go back to the beginning and mention a couple of points. Parak starts off, Vayikahalu kol adas b'nei Yisrael Shiloh. All of Bnei Yisrael come together in Shiloh, Vayashkinu Shemes Ohel Moed, and they set up the Ohel Moed there, and they put the Aron, and we know that Shiloh is different than where the Mishkan had been till now. They built a stone building, and they have cloth on the roof, but it is a stone building, something that it has not been yet in the history of the Mishkan. Remember, in the Midbar, it was made out of wood. Right, up until now it's made out of stone. This is Mishkan Shiloh. The Mishpat Zav quotes, beautiful, just a one line. It's, well, how does the parak start off? They gather together. Bnei Yisrael gathered together in Shiloh, and then they were able to build, and they were mashkin, the Ohel Moed, and that brought Hashras HaShechina, says the Mishpat Zav. The whole purpose of the Mishkan, and what allows us to have the Mishkan, and the Beis HaMikdash for that matter, is the Achdus, is the unity that we feel. We know we lost the second Beis HaMikdash because of Sinas Chinam, because of baseless hatred. So what caused the Beis HaMikdash? What's the phrase before the Mishkan was put together? We gathered together. Vayikahalu, we became a kahal, and after, once we became a kahal, only then were we zocha to be able to build the Mishkan. As he says, Kamoshi Adua de Beis HaMikdash Hasheni Char Bavun Senas China V'Lashon Hara Shapir Ba'am Yisrael Moneya Hashras HaShechina Pirud, and inner fighting prevents Shechina Kach HaYesod LaShras HaShechina B'Yisrael Hu HaAchdus V'HaShalom. Right, and that's even what Rashi says. Rashi quotes this in Zos HaBracha on the Pasuk Vayihivi Shurin Melech. When in Yeshurin, in Am Yisrael, will there be a king? Will Hashem rejoice in being the king? Behisa Sefer HaShayam. When all the people come together, when all the Shvatim come together and are together, Asifa Achas, V'yasa Kula Maguda Achas, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves it and wants to come down. And then he even describes, says maybe halachically, only when we are together, we have the Milo called a Tzibur. If we're not together, we're not a Tzibur. Hashem is only Mashiach Shechina on a Tzibur. And therefore, that's the allusion in this first pasuk in the Perek, that we came together as a Kahal, and in that way, we were able to be Zoche to start building the Mishkan. The Ha'aret, and the pasuk ends off by saying, V'ha'aret nichbasha lefnehem. The land is nichbash. The land is conquered in front of you. The question Chazal asks is, no, it wasn't. We just said, the second half of the parak, Yeshua says in two psukim from now, that it wasn't. There's still seven Shvatim that didn't conquer the land. So Chazal say no. What it means, Baruch Nechbasha, is that now that we have a Mishkan, it's going to be easier to conquer. Now we have a central focus of our Yadus, of our Ruchnius. So go for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Baruch Nechbasha Lefnehem. That's what Rashi quotes here. The end of Pasuk Aleph. Misha Nikva HaMishkan HaYisaharetz Nochali Kabesh Lefnehem. Once you have a Mishkan, once you have a Beis HaMikdash, everything becomes much easier if we're fighting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's team, so to speak. There is a crucial point to discuss. Once we have the Mishkan first mentioned here in Shiloh, we have to know that there were five or six times in history regarding the halachas of building one's Mizbeach, building a Mizbeach where everyone wants in the world. Right? What's called the topic of Bamos. Right? Can I build a Mizbeach in my backyard? When? Yes. When? No. So we know. Before the Mishkan was built, meaning from the time of Brias HaOlam all the way up until the time of the Mishkan, up until the time of the Midbar, everybody can build a Mizbeach wherever they want. No, Adam, Noach, Avram, Yisrael, Yaakov, they all built Mizbeachs. They all built Bamos. So says the Mishnah in Maseches Zvachim, in the last parak, the Radak quotes these Mishnayos here, Ad Shlohu Kama Mishkan Haya Bamos Mutaros. Before the Mishkan was built, you could build a Bama, an altar, wherever you wanted. Uva Avoda Bibacharos. And the Avoda, right, originally, before the Chet Eikel, was done by the firstborns. Mishahu Kama Mishkan, once the Mishkan was built, then that's it. That's the central place, and that's where you're not allowed to bring your karbanos wherever you want. You have to bring it in the Mishkan. Ne'esru ha'vamos and v'ha'avoda b'kohanim. And as we know, the Torah describes that the firstborns lost it because of the egel, and it was taken over by the kohanim and by Shevet Levi. Ba'ula Gilgal, that existed. There was an Isser of Bamos until they crossed the Yarden, until we had earlier in Sefer Yoshua. Once they crossed the Yarden, for the next 14 years, there was no centralized location for Am Yisrael. Hutra Bamos. Bnei Yisrael once again, were allowed to bring karbanos wherever they wanted. Ba'u l'shilo. Once we come to Yehoshua, Perek Yudches, Chai. That's how you remember it. When Bnei Yisrael come alive again. 18th Perek of Sefer Yehoshua. So then, Ne'esru Bamos. Right? Bamos were no longer allowed. Once they come to Shiloh, Lohaya Sham Tikra, the Mishnah describes there was no stone roof on Shiloh, Ella Bayashal Avanim, Ilamata, but the walls were made out of stone, unlike it was up till now. The Urios, and you have the curtains on top, like the good old Mishkan that we're used to. The Hiyasa Menucha, and that's what's called Menucha in the Torah, and it goes through the halachas of where one is allowed to eat items, karbanos, in the proximity of the Mishkan, which B'ez Hashem will get back to. But then, after Shiloh was uprooted, after 369 years, in the time of Eli, Bo Lenov Legivon Hutra Bamos, once Shiloh was dismantled, or even destroyed, so then, Mutter Heter Bamos again, into the times of Nov and Givon, and finally, Bo Lirushalayim, but once they came to Yerushalayim, so then, Shlomo HaMelech built a Beis HaMikdash, Nasser Abamos, it's finished. No more Bamos, even when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, no longer. V'lohaya lohem od heter, there was no heter, v'hi aysa nachla. And that's called nachla. Shiloh is called menucha in the Torah, a certain resting place, but Yerushalayim is called nachla. So we know this perek takes us to the next stage of halachic history. Once we have Shiloh, so there's no more Isser Bamos, all karbanos have to be brought only right there in Shiloh. Okay, so what happens? They gather together and they set up the Mishkan. And Pasuk Beis, Vayivachu Bivnei Yisrael, Asher Lo Chagvas Nachalasam Shiva Shvatim. There were seven Shvatim that still hadn't gotten their land. Who do we have? We have Shimon, we have Yisachar, Zavulun, we have a couple of Naphtali. We're going to get to them. Done. So there were seven left. Vayomer Yeshua Bnei Yisrael. Yeshua says to them, what are you waiting for? At Anatem Misrapim, Lavola Reshes Azaretz. What are you being soft and weak for? Asher, the land that Hashem gave you, Asher Nasam Lachem, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. The land that Hashem gave you. Right? What are you waiting for? Right? So one might ask, what do you mean? Yeshua was in charge. Wasn't there a goral? Wasn't there, you know, he had the lottery? So Mistam it was that the first couple of Shvatim were there and excited about it, and the other ones didn't come. And the Mitzudas David here quotes in Pasuk Gimel, that what they were worried about was that they thought that once the land is totally split up and they're all in their own places, so they're not going to have that same achdus. They're not going to go to bat for each other. They're not going to fight the enemy for each other. They're just going to be in their own places. They're not going to worry about each other. You know what? We won't split up the land. We'll all live wherever we're supposed to live. And Shalom al Yisrael, and we'll all protect each other. We'll all be one. That is what they were thinking. Ratzal Omar says the Mitzvah David, explaining what Yeshua was saying to them. Yadati machshavo seichem, ma she'inchem sholchem. I know why you're not doing it. Ki tachshavu im kol echad yakir chelko pen yifredu ish me'achiv v'lo yilachem o echad b'varchelok achir. You're not going to fight for each other. Says Yeshua, remember. And that's why, by the way, who already got? Yehuda got. Yehuda wasn't worried about any enemies. Binyamin received, right? He was also not worried. He had a lot of a big nachla. So Yeshua says, but don't worry about it. Why? Because why? How does he finish? Why you soft? Asher nasan lachem. Hashem lokei avoseichem. God's in charge. Hashem wants to give you this land. You fight your hardest and that's it. Hashem will take care of the rest, just like he said in the end of the last parak, when he told Bnei Menashe, don't worry about it. They have chariots, but you could do it. Hashem lokei avoseichem is doing it for you. That's what the Abarbanel says here as well, that's what Yeshua is telling them. Don't be scared. You could do it. Come split up the land. And as we've said, there's an important halacha. They're being maktish the land. The mitzvahs don't go into effect until every shevet is in their land, in their specifically designated land. So that's why Yeshua was telling them, don't be so lazy. So, Pasuk Dalet, Havud Lachem Shlosha Nashim Lashavet, bring three Nash people, three men for each Shevet, Ve'esh Lachem, I'll send them out, and then you'll go write different areas, V'yichtavu Osa Lefi Nachlasam V'yavo Eloi, you'll have different areas, and you'll bring it back to me. Right, Rashi quotes here, it sounds like all the areas were equal. We mentioned this Bachlokas last time, Rashi and the Ramban, whether every one of the lands was the same area. V'ischal goes al Sheva Chalakim, but come back to me with seven parts. Yehuda, Yamar al Gvulami Negev, Yehuda will be in the south, and Beis Yosef, we already discussed Menashe and Ephraim are above them, and then write it down, and then we will split it up. V'yarisi lachem goral pa lefnei Hashem Elokeinu, I'll make another goral, says Yoshua, and we will be able to finish up this job and do what we have to do, because after all, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Good, so that's what they did. They went, they came back with seven areas, and the first one Yoshua deals with is Binyamin. Binyamin is the first one to deal with. Binyamin, where is Binyamin? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayal Goro Matei Bnei Binyamin L'Mishpachosam. Vayetze Gvul Goralam Bein Bnei Yehuda Ubein Bnei Yosef. Right in the middle of Yehuda and Yosef. If you go from the south, as we said, now we have filled in. We have Yehuda, then Binyamin. As we said, Yehuda and Binyamin, they converged in Yerushalayim. Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda, Binyamin, and above them we have Ephraim and then Menashe. So that's from the south of Eretz Yisrael. That is what we have. Shiloh, where they were, that was in Binyamin. How do you know that was in Binyamin? First, you do the look at the Gvulos, but also from Rashi. Rashi tells us back in Parshas Vayigash. I remember when Yosef and Binyamin finally meet each other, and the Torah tells us that they cried on each other's shoulders. Why did they cry on each other's shoulders? Says the pasuk. Let's just find the pasuk that he meets his brothers. He says Vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv ayef. He fell on his Binyamin's neck and cried. Vayef Binyamin, and Binyamin tried on his. Chazal pick up on, it says he cried on Tzavarei. Tzavarei Binyamin. What does Tzavarei means? The necks of? How many necks does Binyamin have? Right, it says he cried on the necks of Binyamin. So Chazal tell us, well, Binyamin and Yosef were each crying on something else. Binyamin was crying, says Rashi. Binyamin. He cried on Binyamin's shoulders. Why? He was crying for the two Batei Mikdash that were in Binyamin. Binyamin, we know, had Yerushalayim, had the Mizbeach, right? Yehuda Binyamin went right there. So when Yosef was crying on Binyamin's shoulders, he was crying because in the future he saw the two Batei Mikdash. And Binyamin was crying on Yosef's shoulders, and that's with the double washing of neck. And Yosef was crying on Binyamin's shoulders. Binyamin was crying on Yosef's shoulders because he saw in, Yosef, again, was crying on Binyamin's shoulders because of the two Batei Mikdash. And Binyamin was crying on his shoulders. Al Mishkan Shiloh, Shasid Lios Bechelkosha Yosef Esofele Charef. I'm sorry, there wasn't that. Shiloh was not, I take it back, Shiloh was not in Binyamin. It was in the Bnei Yosef. It was in Menashe and Ephraim. But he was crying. This is what I meant to say. Rashi was saying that he was crying in this context. Because he saw in the future the Mishkan that was going to be destroyed. But Binyamin is right under Yosef, right in between Yosef and the Bnei Yehuda. There is a big discussion about the status of Shiloh in regard to other areas of halacha. Again, I apologize before for the mistake about Shiloh. Okay, said there is a discussion about the status of Shiloh. The Mishpat Zozov here quotes, Achronim, was there a mitzvah of Aliyah Regel to Shiloh? There's a mitzvah of Aliyah Regel to Yushalayim. What about to Shiloh? What about other halachas that have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? Let's first focus on this one. Says the Mishpat Zozov, based on a Ramban, that in the Midbar there was mo mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Right? They didn't, Varias Panim B'Mishkan B'Regalim. Hayim B'Shilo Haisa Mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. So he quotes from the Brisker Rav, he quotes from the Griz, based on a Rashi and Tehillim. Beautiful. Says Rashi and Tehillim. Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra lo yachtav. It's in the Shir HaMaalos, we know it. Yerushalayim habnuya, Yerushalayim that is built up, like a city, shechubra lo yachtav. So David HaMelech's talking. He didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean Yerushalayim habnuya? Rashi there says in Tehillim, Yerushalayim habnuya, kishe yivne shlomo b'ni Beis HaMikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech, my son, builds the Beis HaMikdash, tehe b'nuya b'shchino b'mikdash. It should be built up. Yerushalayim habnuya, ke'ir, like the city, like which city? Rashi says there, kishilo. Shadima akasav zulazu, because the Pasuk compares Yerushalayim and Shiloh, where, in the Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, el ha-menucha v'el ha-nachala, like we saw before from the Mishnah, menucha, Shiloh, nachla, Yerushalayim. So in the Pasuk, they're compared. And the Bir HaKavanah, Shashtian Shavos, Petoras Mikdash Shalahem, and the Brisker Rav says, you see from there, Shiloh and Beis HaMikdash are compared. So he says, it must be that there was Aliyah L'Regel. Why? Because keep reading the Pasuk. Yerushalayim Abnuya Ki'ir Shechubra L'Achtav, Shesham Alu Shvatim Shifteka. It's a fairish Pasuk in Tehillim, that this is where they went up to. According to Rashi, the first half of the Pasuk is talking about Yerushalayim and Shiloh, and it says they went up to Shiloh for Aliyah L'Regel. And this is even maybe, right, the Machlokes in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, well, Elkanah, right, Chana's husband went up to the Beis HaMikdash, right, before Shmuel was born, and he says it went up miyamim yamima. Rashi, at the beginning of Shmuel, quotes, does that mean once a year or every yontif? So again, if it means every yontif, then this is another makar, that there is a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel when it comes to Shiloh. That's one idea in terms of one halacha, Aliyah L'Regel. There is another important lumdish question that the Brisker Rav asks. This is in the Griz Ala Torah in Parshas Re'eh. We know there is a halacha that in the Beis HaMikdash, one is allowed to eat katshe kalim, karbanos, in the city, in Yerushalayim, within the walls of Yerushalayim. Katshe kachim have to be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara. Katshe kalim could be eaten in the city, and the Yisraelim could eat it. What about in Shiloh? It could be eaten b'chol haro'eh. Wherever you can see the Mishkan from, so that's good enough. That's even why, I mentioned this in other Shiurim, that archaeologically it's amazing how they know in Shiloh where the Mishkan was, that they have an area that fits the dimensions, and there's other rayas, but in all the mountain ranges, all around that spot, they found broken shards of Kli Cheres, of earthenware kalim, which makes a lot of sense, because everything that had karbanos in it became nosar, and you had to break the glass. You can't kasher, you know, klicheres, can't make a tars, you have to break it. Just over all those mountains, on the opposite side, there's nothing. There's no kalim found. They didn't find any broken shards. So why it's b'chol haroeh? You ate karbanos in all the mountain ranges around, as far as you could see the Mishkan. It's a raya mochrachas. We have it right here. But the question is, that halacha, as far as as you could see the Mishkan, how do you explain that conceptually? If you say it's b'chol haroeh, does that mean it's as if there's like an imaginary wall that wherever, all the way, that goes all the way out, it has kedushas makom? It's just like Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim. This is expansion of Shiloh. Is that the halacha? Or no? It's not within an area, but it's just b'chol haroeh. It's a special din. Does not have kedushas makom, as he would call it. I read his chakira. Im hayesod din bazeh hu dechol makom hazeh bechlal machane Yisrael lechol davar umishem zeh hu dinechol sham kashem kalu meiser sheni. Oh, do din b'fnei atzmo b'achilas kashem kalu meiser sheni is a separate din, even though it's not in machane Yisrael, you're allowed to eat it. And he quotes many rayas that he thinks that even though it is not machane Yisrael, it's just a special din of seeing. If you can have bechol haroeh, that is that is good enough. And he quotes Raya's from Midrashim about this as well. But anyway, there's a lot to talk about the status of Shiloh. So those are 2 points. Is there a mitzvah Lila Regal by Shiloh? And is there Kedushas Makom? But again, why are we talking about Shiloh here? Because Shiloh was set up, and this is where Yeshua did the Goral. As it said in Pasuk Yud, where we're up to Vayashlich Yelohim Yeshua Goral, once they brought back the 7 portions, he did the Goral in Shiloh. And then it describes now the rest of the splitting up. Rest of the splitting up, all about Binyamin. Obviously, Binyamin is a very fascinating Shevet. Binyamin is the only Shevet that was born in Eretz Yisrael, this week's Parsha. The only Shevet, number one. Number two, the only Shevet that has given 2 names in the Torah. Right, what does it say? That Rachel called the baby Ben-Oni, and Yaakov called the baby Binyamin. So Binyamin stuck. But as Rachel died in childbirth, she calls the baby Ben-Oni, and he calls it Binyamin, the only Shevet like that, that has 2 names given to him in the Torah. So he's the only one born in Eretz Yisrael. He's the only one that has 2 names, and as the Gemara says, he never sinned. Right? He's one of the 4 people that never sinned. Binyamin, Kilav, Amram, and Yishai. The 4 people never sinned. Binyamin is the only Shevet amongst them. So he was a special, unique Shevet that there's a lot of magical elements to it. He's the only one that didn't bow down, right? Because he wasn't born yet. He didn't bow down to Esav, right? Something special about Binyamin. Just to end with a thought from Reb Nevenzahl. Reb Nevenzahl writes that in Parshas Vayigash, that there's a pasuk in later on that's very difficult to understand unless we realize a special relationship between Yehuda and Binyamin. Achia Hashiloni, a Navi later on, when the Malchus split, says to Yeravim ben Nevat in Malachim Aleph that you are going to get 10 tribes, 10 shvatim, and the Malchus based David is going to get 1 shevet. They're going to get Yehuda, you're going to get all of the others. So the question is asked by, just read the pasuk, there's 12 shvatim. 10 and 1 only add up to 11. How is it that Yeravim ben Nevat, the whole line of Malchus Yisrael, is going to have 10 shvatim, and Yehuda and Dodo is going to get 1? What happened to Binyamin? Where's Binyamin? So the answer, Rav Nevenzahl says, in Parshas Vayigash, Yehuda and Binyamin were considered 1 shevet. Why? Because of what Yehuda says in Parshas Vayigash. What does he say? When they want to take Binyamin, Yehuda stands up and says, no, he's mine. Anochi Arvenu, he says to Yaakov earlier, Anochi Arvenu, but also he stands up finally, doesn't let it go, he says, take me. Kol Yisrael Ravim Zalazeh, he stands up for Binyamin, he's a chalik of me. So halachically, they're even considered 1 shevet. And that's why when the Navi says that, Yehuda, David HaMelech only has 1 shevet, he has 2, Yehuda Binyamin. No, it's considered 1 shevet. Yehuda Binyamin, chashuvin kishevet echad, kifisha achin hayel rechavim acharkach, b'shala arvus hamyuchedes, shel Yehuda ule Binyamin. And that's what also, he says, the psukim say, shelo haya achrei beis David, zulasi shevet Yehuda levado. The only shevet that followed David HaMelech's family was shevet Yehuda. And the next pasuk says, "Vayavo rechavam Yerushalayim, vayakel is kol beis Yehuda veshevet Binyamin." Perak Yud Beis, pasuk Chavon Chavalef in Malachim Aleph. The pasuk says he only has Yehuda. The next pasuk says he's got Yehuda Binyamin. The answer is 1 shevet. There's a special, unique connection between Yehuda and Binyamin, and that all this also can answer something we discussed a few times already in these shiurim, and that is, remember, Yerushalayim, the Gemara says, was lo nischalka l'shvatim. It was not split up. But the other Gemara says that Yehuda Binyamin went right through the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the southeast corner of the Beis HaMikdash couldn't have a base. It had to be cut off. What do you mean? But it's Yishraim Lonus Chalkul Lishvatim. Yehuda Binyamin were considered 1 shevet. So well, considered 1 shevet. They were there, obviously, the 2 shvatim on the Choshen and 2 shvatim in Nachla. But in some conceptual sense, they are considered 1 shevet. That's how you get shot in the Psukim. And that is the special, unique connection between the two. Just to end, there's a beautiful Rav Yochanan Fischer Perlow points out that Rav Sadyagon, that's his big fat mammoth work, Rav Sadyagon seems to count Arvus as a mitzvah aseh d'oraisa. He quotes in his poem describing the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Lichros brachos v'klalos brisos arboim b'shmona. And Rav Sadyagon and the Rav Yochanan Fischer Perlow points out that none of the other Rishonim quote that the brachos and the klalos on Hargizim or Evel are a mitzvah. That was a one-time thing. What does Hargizim or Evel have to do with me? Why is that one of the 613? So he quotes, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zalazeh is a separate mitzvah aseh d'oraisa. To be a rave, to be connected to fellow Jews, is a separate mitzvah. Yehuda and Binyamin are the deepest that you could come together, even consider 1 shevet in a certain sense. But that is, you want to look it up, it's in Parsha Nun Zayin, in the 3rd Chelek of his Svarim, but that is said there. Okay, so we had Shiloh here, they built the Mishkan in Shiloh, and Binyamin received his Nachla. So far, what do we have? We have Reuven, Gad, Menashe, Ephraim, Yehuda, and Binyamin. are all taken care of. So, six taken care of and six to go. We are halfway through the Nachlis. We only have one more parak. All of the other six are going to get their Nachlis in the next parak, and then we'll get into other issues with Ari Miklat and the cities of the Levium, other issues that come up in the coming up prakim. Okay, we'll stop here.